College Football Nerds here talking Auburn and Georgia, two teams we've already talked about this year, which will make it a little bit easier for me when I go to do the graphics and the cut-ups. Hopefully I'll be accurate with scores and schedules. All right, y'all, let us know in the comments, as always, what you think this score is going to be. And reminder, we do a live show on Saturday nights. May or may not do this one this week. There's some traveling going on. We're going to try to get one in, but if we can't, we can't. So you can check it out in the podcast form if you want to listen to us and not watch us, but you can always check it out also on our YouTube channel if you don't want to leave the confines of YouTube. The links will be in the description. You can listen there. It's pretty awesome. We have a lot of fun. But this is a big game, Josh. I mean, Auburn's probably a little bit better than in terms of record and ranking than we thought they'd be coming into this game. And Georgia is really up there with Alabama and Georgia and everybody else is what they're saying. But what's interesting to me, and we usually don't get into point spreads early, but Georgia absolutely shamed Vegas, who said 18.5 points, thought they were giving them a good number. Turns out they shamed Vegas. And by the way, you did pick them to cover that spread and not pick them to only win by 14. And coming into this Auburn game, where in terms of ranking and what many people might think, Auburn is not as good as Arkansas. But Vegas is saying 14.5 points. Josh, what's up with that?
Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, if we look back last week, and I forget what I even necessarily predicted it to be, but I know I had Georgia winning was like 40-13, 40-10 or something.
I think it was 31-10.
Yeah, I thought they'd win by a lot, and I thought it was due to the basically out athleting Arkansas. And what we saw is that defensive style from Arkansas. And I pointed out last year Arkansas was 10th in the conference in run defense. Georgia is a dominant run team, and everybody's been going to this fancy hurry up spread stuff, which there's a reason it's all super popular. But the funny thing in everybody doing that is now all the defenses are going to the Iowa State-style Big 12 defenses that have light boxes. And the couple teams left, like Alabama and Georgia, that can really run the ball, especially Georgia, who has a, I think, even substantially better running game than almost anybody else really in the country, they can exploit that style of defense. And that's what we saw. But Auburn is not that kind of team. They don't do a drop eight defensive scheme. And I talked about a lot that I thought the Arkansas matchup was brutal against Georgia. And I thought Georgia was a better team, but I felt like the margin was going to be a lot larger than even that difference, just because of the fact that Arkansas's defense wasn't built to stop Georgia on a lot of levels. And Georgia was built really well to stop everything Arkansas wanted to do offensively. Auburn is a more traditional defense. They've got a lot more size at the defensive line and in the front seven. They're a lot more aggressive. And offensively, I think they're better equipped. You know, Bo Nix and his crazy Sports Center worthy plays, that may not be a great way to run an offense for four quarters to put up 40 points in a big game, but it's a way to score points on a high level man coverage team, because you make them chase somebody all the way around the field and eventually somebody's going to get open. And that's why I think Auburn is only, quote-unquote, only a two-touchdown favorite. I mean, it's not like Auburn's a bad team, and I know Auburn is ranked 18th right now, but given the way Georgia just smoked an Arkansas team that's still ranked 13th, I think it says something that line isn't any larger, and I think it's due to the matchup.
It probably also is somewhat due to this question around JT Daniels, who might or might not be ready. You know, if it's a strained oblique, that's a tough injury for a quarterback. But I am on this mission to remind everybody, especially Georgia fans, that Stetson Bennett is a better quarterback than he gets credit for. He showed a lot, especially in that Auburn game last year. He came out and was dealing against Auburn. And so I think that there's still a lot of question marks, though, around, like, if JT Daniels can't go, we're playing the backup quarterback. You're playing with a backup quarterback who has a ton of experience. It's not like if Alabama had to play with their backup quarterback or Arkansas or somebody like that. Stetson Bennett's played some games. On the flip side, we did see what Auburn did against LSU Saturday. We saw what Bo Nix was able to do. They've got good running backs. Josh, though, we we talked about, you talked about the scheme and how it's a little different, but in general, in terms of team quality and some scares we've seen, like with Georgia State and that game especially, and just where Auburn's kind of been a little clunky offensively, do you have some concerns going up against a Georgia team that you've got, you know, 1B right now?
I think for, if we're asking about where Auburn's at on the offensive side of the ball and their skill position talent and offensive line and all, this is a completely different animal than what they faced. I know Penn State was a good defense and, you know, they held Auburn to 20 points in that game. Didn't let them do a whole heck of a lot in there. Auburn averaged about 4.5 yards a play. But Georgia's run defense is another level. I mean, we talked about, because we did the Iowa-Penn State game, if you actually break down Penn State's stats relative to their competition, they haven't faced a team that can throw for over 6.5 yards per attempt yet. And there are a lot of statistical signs that Penn State's defense is good, but it is not statistically relative to competition. It's not necessarily elite. It's more just that the opponents have been that bad, or at least they're bad enough that they've hid how elite they are. But they haven't really necessarily shocked what you would expect against the sort of teams they've played. If, you know, assume or realize that Penn State was 85% of opponent averages rushing, 85% of opponent averages passing, Georgia is 60 and 65%. Really an entire tier better or twice as good as far as our statistical modeling looks at it. And that does sort of make me think that Auburn might have major issues moving the ball at all. Their offensive line has been shaky a lot at times this year. Georgia's interior defensive line is probably by far the best in the country, especially, well, at least now that Clemson's banged up internally. And then their man coverage scheme is really sound, really good, really talented. There's not really anywhere on the field where Auburn has an advantage. Maybe Bigsby on a linebacker one-on-one, but they're not going to get him one-on-one at any point in this game. So it's hard for me to see anywhere on the field where Auburn's going to get some wins other than, like I said, scrambling madness from Bo Nix. And that's why this is a two-score game. And, yeah, I mean, maybe we can turn to the model now, but the model sees it essentially exactly the same way.
Yeah, and I do want to do one more kind of not necessarily hypothetical, but just some sort of consideration. If we're going to put something on the potential positive for the Auburn side of this equation, Josh, is it, and maybe not even, like, let's say JT Daniels can play, is it the fact that we haven't seen, as much as Georgia fans don't want us to say this because they're going to kill us for it, I know they will, we haven't seen Georgia play offensively at an elite dynamic level against a good team yet. Is there some of that concern maybe baked into Vegas and baked into some potential Auburn optimism? And take that answer and then roll into the model.
I think there's probably something to be said that Georgia, you know, Arkansas, as good as they are, is still sort of Arkansas, and I'm still not quite sure how much they're not a limited team that's playing really well, if that makes sense, like one of the better Kentucky teams, kind of, sort of. And, you know, a lot of the other, South Carolina is really awful this year. Vanderbilt's really terrible. Clemson, offensively, it turns out, is a true train wreck. And UAB kind of gave the game away early, especially with a bunch of miscues. So I think that might be some of the apprehension. But as much as anything, I think it's just sort of a reflection where the two teams are and how difficult it is to pull away completely from a team like Auburn. And that's where I'm going to get into the model, right? So the spread right now is 14.5. And I'll note, our getting to our model, which does not look at the spread, does not consider the spread, it has this as a 14-point game. It has Georgia 34, Auburn 20. I think the over-under is like 45, so our model's got about 10 points higher. But it's the same differential, which I find interesting, given everything we just talked about. And I already touched on a lot of the sort of intermediate statistics. Again, our model is really based off sort of evaluating you relative to competition and saying, have you been a harder or easier opponent than your other teams you've played have faced, building a profile, and then figuring out what it is that makes you tick in order for your team to score specifically. And, you know, Georgia in this game, much better defensively. It actually doesn't respect Auburn offensively that much. It has Auburn as an 83% rush defense, which is good. Not elite, but good. And also, I'll say, not as highly ranked as it had Arkansas's. It has Auburn as 102% of opponent passing averages, essentially noting Auburn has played a bunch of teams that don't throw the ball very well. Even LSU only averages about 8.5 yards per attempt. And so it's not really wowed by anything Auburn's done in pass defense. And that, because of all that, it has Georgia outgaining Auburn almost 2-1, like 6.5 yards per play to less than 4. Auburn it expects to have 4 yards per pass attempt here, under 4 yards per carry. Nothing is expected to work whatsoever. And Georgia's offense is expected to run pretty well. 4 yards per carry, almost 10 yards per attempt. I think really the key here is, one, Auburn has had, and I think still has, the propensity to score some random points due to the personnel Malzahn put together. He's got a lot of guys that are good about getting random explosives. Bo Nix does create sometimes and can throw the ball down the field and hit a guy that's wide open. They've got some guys that are able to create explosive plays if he can, you know, extend the play against man coverage. And that'll put some points on the board for Auburn. And then for Georgia, you know, it's easy to say, well, they'll throw for almost 10 yards per attempt, but the trick is they don't throw very much. And if you're running for 4 yards per carry, just like the Arkansas game, they dominated that game, it felt like, especially early, and they scored 37 points. So our model is putting Georgia at 34 because it's saying, you know, it figures Auburn's about the same kind of defense Arkansas is, or at least functionally. And it's saying even if Georgia's pretty dominant, they're probably not going to put up 40 to 50 points just because against any sort of good defense, a run game is going to shorten the game, and they don't have the sort of passing game to just put up a massive number. They're going to have some field goals instead of touchdowns. But I think, like Vegas, the model is saying this game's not going to ever really feel in doubt. In fact, Georgia, when you watch it, if the statistics play out the way this is saying, Georgia's going to feel like they're totally dominating the game. It's more that Auburn's going to hit a couple plays to stay with it. And I think if you're to talk about it in terms of a real-world score, this is essentially saying this is a 34-13 game in the fourth quarter, and that Auburn throws a touchdown against the backups to make it 34-20. That's basically what the model is saying this game's going to kind of look like. And I don't think it's unrealistic. I don't think it's unrealistic in view of the Arkansas game. My only question is whether Auburn can actually score 20 points with just 3.9 yards per play, because that's not very much.
Yeah, and I look at Auburn this year scoring 24, scoring whatever they did against Georgia State, scoring 20 against Penn State. At this point, their offense is who they are. And we might get some Bo Nix Sandlot magic, and we might get 13 points out of that, right? But that's maybe all we get. And even if there's a backdoor score, I think that the flip side of Georgia's offense is they haven't had to flex at all this year. Except maybe the Clemson game where, you know, they were without a lot of wide receiver production and JT Daniels was playing hurt. And at this point, maybe JT Daniels being hurt is just who he is. Irrespective of that, the model doesn't really see that Georgia, even in the Arkansas game, didn't have to flex. And so what do we see if Auburn is hitting some of these, you know, sandlot plays before garbage time? We're going to see Georgia doing some things with a little more explosiveness, a little more verticality. And I haven't seen enough from Auburn's defense to tell me that they're going to for sure stop them. So I'm going to disagree with the model in Vegas a little bit on this one. And I'm going to go Georgia 34, Auburn 13. Give me your score.
My score that I picked, and I'm going to stick with it because I picked it, was the exact same as your score.
No.
It was also 34-13. We try not to do that, but we usually...
It happens once a week.
Yeah, it does. Look, there are two big things in the model that I would disagree with. And we always say the model is more to keep us honest and to show us... Because it doesn't care what the names of the teams are. It doesn't feed in recruiting rankings. It only cares about performance on the field. It keeps us honest. It gives us a baseline. I could factor that stuff in and probably make it more accurate, but it would make it less insightful. It wouldn't do things like predicting Arkansas to blow out Texas A&M earlier this year, which everybody laughed at, including us, and it ended up looking pretty prophetic. because it just said, look, Arkansas has been a lot better than Texas A&M, period. And that's all it cared about. But I don't think it's realistic in thinking Auburn can actually score 20 with this kind of production. And knowing how Auburn's gotten their yardage and knowing how aggressive and fast Georgia is, I don't think Nix is going to be able to run around and scramble and create the weight against an LSU defense that they'd managed to sort of wear out a little bit. I think Georgia's too sound and disciplined, and that production isn't going to come. And on the flip side, I'm going to give some credit to something Georgia fans keep saying. They were beat up early in the year. I mean, they haven't really been healthy at any point. Like Clemson game, Daniels played hurt, and I think he hurt Daniels might have been worse than Bennett, who himself, by the way, when everybody hated him, got hurt last year by all accounts. But, you know, they get Washington back that I think will play. Quick aside, I keep making the point, right? They want to say they have all these receivers back. They don't really have that much changeover, right? I mean, they're not getting Pickens back. Gilbert's not back. Those guys are all missing against Clemson. Most of them are still out. The one exception is really Washington's back. Burton is more fully healthy. Kiaris Jackson is more fully healthy. Those guys both actually played against Clemson. But Washington, I do expect to be much more of a factor than he was last week when they were easing him in. And so when you take all that into account, our model doesn't account for injuries. There's good reason for that. There's no good way to account for injuries. I'd have to stick my hand and manipulate it. And again, I don't want to do that. So I think it's probably underestimating Georgia a little bit. And I think it's kind of underestimating Auburn. I'm with you. I think if Auburn scores more points, I think Georgia will score more points. I think Georgia's going to keep this to about a 3-score lead, if I had to guess. I think if Auburn keeps it close or gets it under that 14.5, I am apt to think it's actually going to be a backcourt door cover that does it. Or non-threatening score, put it that way. I don't really expect this to be a major contest, and I know I've been making Auburn fans all year, but I'll say it again. I frankly question how good Penn State is. LSU, I'm just being blunt and honest, LSU's not a very good team, I don't think, and I think Auburn is a solid team, but they're a solid, I think they're a solid borderline top 25 team. And I think Georgia is easily one of the top two teams in the country. And when those sort of teams face off, it's usually kind of a no contest sort of deal. I don't think this game is going to be particularly competitive. I honestly think this, I'm surprised the betting line is at 14.5. I could have seen it be higher. I'll be curious if it does go higher. And I'm not sure how much of it's just because Auburn won the LSU game. There's a little bit of elation from the betting public, but I frankly just don't think it's going to be particularly competitive, and I think we're going to have a lot more respect for Georgia and maybe a different viewpoint for Auburn going forward.
Not sure I'm going to have much more respect for Georgia since I put them at number one in our top 10 this week. You still got old stinky Alabama at your number one. All right, y'all, let us know in the comments what you think the score is going to be. Check out the live show if you want to hear us talk for an hour or two every week. Again, links in the description. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a great week. Like and subscribe. God bless.